This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what'd it do?
Ahoy!
What up?
Just pacing myself.
Yes!
Nice fake radio laugh.
I'm Jason Swigard, and I'm hilarious.
Yes.
Well, big day. Big day here.
Yeah, on the show.
It's a sprint.
It's not a marathon.
We've got to go.
We got to go.
We got a short one. Yeah, so the Ducks are at 5:30. So we here's the Sketty, Jason Quick. Do you know him? Blazers insider.
I do. Mr. Sunshine.
He will be on at 4:15 to spread some sunshine. And then we're going to rock the bank. Our picks. We only have 3 football games left.
I know. Unless you want to gamble on the Pro Bowl, and then at that point you should probably seek some counseling or call one of those 800 numbers that they have in the commercials that you can't hear, but maybe look one up.
Have we decided if there are Pro Bowl prop bets on the Pro Bowl games or whatever they're doing?
Oh, there has to be.
There must be.
Well, I saw it today. I was scrolling through my Twitter feed, and this, you can gamble on anything. I guess the Royal Rumble, the WWE or F, whatever that is now.
Yeah.
You know, they have that Royal Rumble thing that you watched when you were nine.
Yeah. Isn't that the one where they're all in the ring?
Yeah, they're all in the ring.
And then only one man left standing.
Yeah. I think it starts with like 30 or something like that. And then they just start tossing them out. And the last person
can you
wins
bet on
that?
Thing.
Yeah. There's odds.
But it's fixed.
I saw today that someone was talking about one of the odds for, some wrestler. They went through the roof. And so everyone was like, oh, that means, and I sat there and I thought to myself, how can you gamble on something that's fixed? It's fake. Hmm. And so I looked it up. You can gamble on WWE or F matches, which fascinates me because they're scripted. That's like saying that you can go to like Top Gun Maverick and gamble on whether or not Maverick dies. Like, we know how it ends.
He doesn't die.
It's scripted. Well, thanks a lot for ruining it for everyone, you big jerk.
But he certainly could.
But he does. Like,
the mission was.
So do we think it's just that everyone has signed an NDA and they're just sure it's going to be airtight? Because if it's not going to be leaked, then like.
I don't know. That's a weird one. That's weird. I don't know that I've never even thought about that.
I hadn't either until
today.
Pro
wrestling has, now that sports gambling is fairly legal all across the country. Pro wrestling, which is scripted, I didn't know they had odds on it.
Couldn't tell you. I had no idea either, but I saw it today, and I was like, oh my gosh.
I mean, that would be like betting on how Yellowstone ends or something, right? I mean, it's no different. It's a television show that they're already...
I guess that's true.
You're betting on the outcome of a fictional event, right?
Can you bet on that?
I don't know that you can, but that's what it seems like to me.
Well, would you...
By the way, you can bet on all the matches, including the... So I guess there's a bunch of matches, and then you have the Rumble.
And the same guys that are in the matches are in the Rumble?
No, I think it's separate. But, like, you can bet on. Right now, I don't know. Cody Rhodes, who I have no idea who that is.
I'm looking at the odds.
But he's
the favorite.
He's the favorite.
Why wouldn't you take him? Because there's a reason he's the favorite. Right? Like, they know who's going to win, so.
But I don't.
Or do they?
I don't know. It's very confusing to me. I was not prepared today to confront.
Wait, The Rock is in it?
No.
Yeah, he's on here. Rock, I'm looking at the odds, bro.
The Rock is in the...
That's what it says. Is there another The Rock?
The Rock's still a wrestler?
Plus 350.
I thought he was just making bad movies.
Oh, he's in it.
Oh, well, I guess. Look, you're talking to the wrong guy. I am not a wrestling guy. I haven't watched wrestling in probably 20 years. But I'm aware of the Royal Rumble, and now I'm aware that you can gamble on it. Because I love to gamble, but I always say that there's a certain... If you're betting on certain things, you probably need to call a hotline. I always said, like, preseason. Although I gambled on preseason NFL this year. Only on the Ravens, though, because they don't lose. So it's not even gambling. That's just free money.
Oh, I did that, too.
That was a good angle.
That's free money.
Harbaugh does not lose.
No, it's ridiculous. I rode that thing, and I just kept, and it was a small wager, but I just kept doubling down my winnings on the Ravens.
They can't make those spreads big enough.
No, and I ended up winning a couple $100. But if you're betting on wrestling...
Well, now The Rock is not on. So I'm looking at different odds, and he's not on this other one that I'm looking at. So I don't know why he was on there.
I don't know. Someone's saying, by the way, that Cody Rhodes is the son of Dusty Rhodes?
Well,
big,
sure.
Big fat Dusty Rhodes?
I assumed that.
That makes sense.
The
American dream, Dusty Rhodes, yeah. And his weird polka dots?
I remember Dusty Rhodes.
I like the days of wrestling where you could just be some big fat ass with no discernible angle, and yet you were still famous. It was wonderful.
Well, I won't be betting on that.
Well, maybe you should. Maybe that's the next great...
Do they have that on DraftKings?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
I don't think they do.
But you can bet on it somewhere because there's odds.
Weird. Can't wait for that Royal Rumble that I won't be watching.
So maybe you put that in the Rop in the Bank. If you only have two NFL games to bet on, throw in the Pro Bowl and...
Some Royal
the
Rumble.
The Royal Rumble. I think I'd rather bet on the Royal Rumble than the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but do you have do you have a thought on the Royal? To be honest with you, this is what's
I don't have
scary.
A thought on the Pro Bowl either, though.
Well, I know, but we're on the radio, right? So
yeah.
If we open our Rop in the Bake segment and you come on and you're like, hey, guys.
I got a hunch.
I got a little thing here. I want you to trust me on this. Take Cole Rhodes or whatever his name is in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
People would do it.
It's true.
They would listen to you. The radio guy said, I heard on the radio, this is the best.
Especially you strap one of these. Look, I know some people, and, that's what I'm hearing. It's...
We don't do that, though.
No.
You would never do that.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
But you should probably take Cole Rhodes.
Someone's saying the WWE wants The Rock to be in it, but he has yet to commit.
Cody Rhodes.
So there's a chance?
So you can bet on him.
So there's a chance?
That's why he's plus 350, because if he enters, he's going to be better odds than that.
Right? If The Rock shows up, he has to win. It's the freaking Rock.
Yeah. Well, when's the Royal Rumble?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. No idea whatsoever.
Dude, it's amazing that wrestling is still as big as it is.
I think they're getting ready. I don't know if it's done, but I see stuff come across my timeline, and I think they're selling to the Saudis. The McMahon is selling it.
I think you're right.
And it's going to go for billions of dollars. And so that was
the Saudis are going to run it?
This is their big deal. That Saudi fund now is they're trying to like sports wash everything. And so, yeah, I think the Saudis have a deal or are trying to purchase the WWE from Vince McMahon.
They're ruining everything.
Well,
I mean, not that I care about wrestling.
Nor do I. But
I don't like that.
I don't know if here's the true sign, because people supposedly got all pissed off at LIV golfers for taking that money. But I'm assuming wrestling is mostly it's a blue collar, right? Laco is not into professional wrestling. I'm assuming that's a very blue collar sort of thing. It's like a Longview, Washington. Will the will Middle America dig wrestling if the Saudis are running it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or is that going to be some sort of backlash? And did the Saudis really care? Because let's say they buy it for $2 billion. No one cares. The Saudis are just spending money to spend money.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I know. Internet is telling me that WWE grossed $1 billion. Last year.
It's crazy. Dude, there's people that still love that thing.
A billion.
I don't get it, but, whatever you're into. I guess it's just someone once described it as a soap opera for men.
Wait. 1 billion during Q4 2021.
So they did 1 billion just in a quarter.
Yeah.
That's...
According to internet.
Well, McMahon's a billionaire. I know that. I mean, he's... He's a very, very wealthy and steroided up man. Good for him.
Is that a publicly traded?
Yeah, they're publicly traded.
Yeah, you own some WWE stuff.
I do not own some WWE stuff.
Hey, I tell you what, I used to love was NWA.
Yeah, the old school stuff, like Sting and.
See, the WWF was cool. That was Hogan and Macho Man and all those guys. And that was like the main one.
Yeah.
But I really liked the NWA one better.
Yeah, they were a little more, they were all based out of the South and it was a little
smaller arena. Like they didn't have anybody at their matches. Like it was just for TV. And
dude, when I was a kid, I loved that stuff. And when I got into college, that was probably the last time I actually sat down and watched a wrestling thing. I remember that was when, like, when Hogan turned bad. We were in college and they formed the, what was that thing? And he made a heel turn, and it was like the NWO, and like they became like the bad guys. I think that was the last time. And in college, it was kind of one of those fun like childhood throwbacks. But then you became like 23, and you're like, well, maybe I shouldn't watch wrestling anymore. But you know,
Always cool when somebody came out of the blue and won the title. You know,
yeah,
Dusty Rhodes was one of those. Like,
some random dude.
It's like, oh my god, Dusty Rhodes is the champ. It's a big deal.
It is weird though if you see someone now talking about wrestling, like, and they're talking about it seriously. You're like, what? But I feel that same way. Yeah. Like video,
we were like that.
Though. Yeah, you're like that.
They'll cover it on SportsCenter now, which I find weird. Like WrestleMania, they'll like send a reporter and do coverage as if they're covering a game.
Yeah, like it'll be on the headlines. Really? Yeah, whenever it is, if you watch like ESPN.com, like the little, you know, the little side stories, they have like, you know, six of the headlines. Wrestling will be. It'll be there like with MMA. They'll have like a UFC fight thing, and then below it, it'll be like, you know, so-and-so wins whatever, you know, heavyweight championship. And you're like, I'll be damned.
They must have like a financial interest or something.
I'm sure there's,
you know, because they wouldn't just do that.
No, I'm sure there's some sort of partnership, all that, where they pay to do it.
What'd you have for lunch?
I had a burrito.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
Yeah.
I had a breakfast burrito.
Yeah, you did.
Controversial. I go breakfast burrito anytime during the day.
I could do that.
Like if I go to a Mexican joint, like I went to a little taqueria right outside like my gym, and I go breakfast burrito no matter what. If I go to one of those places, it's my order every time.
Yeah.
I prefer the breakfast to the regular burrito.
Now, what do you like in your breakfast burrito?
Well, this one I had, they do a little hash. They do a little salsa.
Okay.
The eggs. Then I went chorizo.
Okay.
And then if you're feeling a little spicy, you throw some grilled onions in there.
So are
no
you guys
cheese?
No, I go no cheese.
Are you pro or anti potatoes in your breakfast burrito?
I'm pro.
Well, that's the hash brown. That's
okay. I did, when you said hash, I didn't know hash browns.
I'm pro.
Okay.
That
makes the whole breakfast burrito, does it not?
I think I feel like too often they're not done right. And if you get like the not cooked enough potatoes, it'll ruin a breakfast burrito.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
Well, I don't feel that that's a breakfast burrito without the hash.
Oh, sure it is.
Really?
Yeah.
If you had the eggs in there.
Yeah. Eggs, bacon, cheese, a little salsa. That's a breakfast burrito. Yeah.
Oh, man. I insist.
But I like the hash, too.
Yeah. And I like
But he's right about the bigger potatoes. Like, sometimes they put the chunky potatoes.
Like the breakfast? No, you got to get the hash.
You know, sometimes they do.
And but they do. Yeah, they put those country potatoes in there. Not as good as when they do the hash.
And then you're like, hey, crisp that up for me a little bit, huh? Give me a little brown. Give me a little brown on
Perfect
that.
Breakfast burrito. Eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese. Bacon, hash. I'll give you that.
No, gotta have it.
We're gonna go avocado.
Oh, okay, a little California twist.
Yeah,
salsa. Maybe a little sour cream.
It's divine. I
want one right now.
I got no issue. Well, mine was delicious, and I'm still feeling the effects of it, and it's wonderful.
The chorizo.
I like. See, I'm a chorizo
guy.
I'd
go bacon over the chorizo, though.
Yeah. And see, if I do bacon, I do a bacon sausage combo. I like I like the two interacting with one another, or I just go with a chorizo and call it good. Mm. Spicy chorizo. Yeah. Now I kind of want another one.
Well, you guys, we are going to party today. So, Roppin' the Bank, where we break down the final two NFL games before the Super Bowl, that will be at 3:30. So, like 15 minutes, we're going to do that. Shouldn't take too long, right?
No, it was only two games.
Although I have completely somebody texted me earlier in the week and they said, who do you like? And I said, these two teams. Mm-hmm. That would be the exact opposite of what I have actually bet.
Well, the Kansas.
Seriously, like these games are, well, I
they're
just
hard
mean,
to call.
They're hard. Yeah, so at first I was like, oh, dude, I really liked one team and then kind of liked another. But now that I, you know, researched and thought about it and talked to people and just really. Like, I love these games. These games are freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Great matchups. Now, I'm on the other side of both.
The
and I feel terrible about it.
So now you're in a blue knot. You have no idea. What's
no, I think
going
I'm on the right side.
The Kansas City line is flipped back.
Let's hope.
Kansas City came out as the favorite, and then Cincinnati went. It was like a point, point and a half. And then Cincinnati became the favorite, and today it's back to Kansas City
because of Mahomes.
Well, he's got no. I mean,
he's doing good.
Yeah, they're showing him, and he's not in a boot. He's not walking with any limp. He was a full participant. He's fine.
I love it. I got locks.
Even though that if we would have asked you 12 hours ago, your locks were the other way.
I think even the people that break down the games on a professional level change. I mean, that's common. Like you look at a line, you go, oh, but then when you dig a little further, you end up on the other side. That happens all the time.
Sure.
And I think I'm gonna win you money. Although Big Sook's been the winner this year.
About a good year.
You went, let's see here.
I went 2-2 last week.
Yeah, I got you 2-2. But you're still at 44 units.
Yep.
Now I had a 10 uniter on Buffalo.
That hurts a little bit.
So I'm back down to plus 13. And hey, how about a 3-1 week from Ryan Buckley, noted klepto.
Now only what? Negative.
Now he's only minus 43 units.
Only minus 43.
Hey, Buck, we just got the inverse of each other going on. That's all.
Yeah.
Someone's got to be the yin to my yang.
All right. Let's get to our poll question. That's where we will start. Jason Quick, 415?
415.
Yeah. And Rop in the Bank, 330. Okay. There we go. 317. Ready, break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Is the AAA Heating and Cooling poll question. AAA Heating and Cooling, a family company helping families for over 60 years. Go to AAAIAQ.com. Let me log onto my Twitter account here. So just go to Twitter. You can check out the 1080 The Fan account there. And our poll question will be right there. Let's see if we've actually posted it today. And no, I don't think we have.
No, I was getting tea.
Ah,
I have to get some hot tea.
I was going to read that, but
before I sing to you.
But then when I looked it up, I was like, the first thing that pops up is just Dusty and Danny's head. And by the way, can we talk about that photo for Danny? Is that 17 years old? I feel like we have like a 22-year-old Danny on that photo.
Let's take a look.
Yeah, take a look at that. I think we need to update that. I think we need to update that photo.
Well,
that doesn't look like Danny.
I don't know who's in charge of that. I think that guy got fired.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is old.
Yeah, that's a very very youthful Danny Meringue.
Yeah, he almost looks
right.
It's of another nationality.
It's different. It's a strange. I don't know what's happening there.
I have not posted the poll. Okay. Here it is. I will.
Give me the poll anyways.
Okay, but now you can't answer this.
Well, isn't that the whole point of the poll question is to answer it?
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to put it up there, and then we're going to let it marinate, and then we're going to revisit it during Rop in the Bank.
Okay.
Okay, because it pertains to the games. But I thought a really good poll question today would be the following, and it's at 1080 The Fan. It'll be up there in a moment. AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 60 years. AAAIAQ.com. Who are you most confident will win Sunday? So you can answer this next segment when we rob the bank.
Okay.
Because I want to know. Niners, Eagles, Bengals, or Chiefs? Look at that. Four teams, two games. Very evenly matched. Should be a great weekend. So vote hard. I'm going to keep you updated on those results because I'm very interested in how people vote.
Well, I'll be interested to see if someone has a strong opinion because I have my right side on both games. And I'm not waffling. I haven't waffled. I'm making my bets, but none of these are going to be massive bets for me because I do kind of think that these are both coin flip games.
Like
if you said, well, I mean, this is what we do, but if you said, all right, give me 3 minutes, 60 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever time you want, right? I could do an equal, just off the top of my head, off the cuff here, I could give you 2 minutes on why Kansas City's going to win, 2 minutes on why Cincinnati's going to win, and I think both would be very compelling arguments. And I feel the same way about San Francisco and Philadelphia.
I think all games are like that. But yes, just because there are two games left doesn't mean we should bet the house on them.
Yeah.
You know, you still got to really like them. And there's one that I do.
That you like more than the other?
The other one, I think, is just an absolute freaking toss-up, get you popcorn.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that in our next segment. Did you see a Burrowhead?
I did. These
comments?
Yeah, me and Buck were talking about this because he was asking, like, how much does bulletin board material really play into things? And I roll my eyes at this stuff. And, you know, Cincinnati last week came out and said they had a chip on their shoulder against Buffalo. But if you think the reason why the Bills got their ass kicked by Cincinnati was because Cincinnati was disrespected with the home field advantage, stop it. I mean, Once the ball gets snapped, I promise you the left guard in play 12 of a drive is not thinking about whether or not he was disrespected before the game. Like, but you know, it's fun to talk about when you get some bulletin board material.
Well, I don't think it helps. Look, I feel like there are, and not necessarily this time of year, but during the season, there are certainly emotional motivating factors.
Sure,
there's no question.
Jordan famously would invent things.
Yeah.
Lillard's this way. If you don't think that Lillard uses spite as a motivating factor,
okay,
he does it all the time.
Poll is up. Okay. 1080 the fan on Twitter. Vote hard, real hard, and then we'll keep you posted on the poll results, and we'll get our picks in next segment. So we'll tell you who we think will win. But
you're gonna have to explain Burrowhead to people.
Yeah, the Burrowhead thing was I thought it was Joe Burrow. It wasn't. It was Hilton, the little corner for the Bengals.
He was the guy that kept blitzing from the slot and causing Josh Allen.
Playing great.
Yeah.
But he's like 5 foot. He's like Mighty Mouse. Okay. Yeah. He's like 5'5".
But they say he's like the best tackler on the team.
He weighs 110 pounds.
185, and he says he brings his ass and all 185 pounds when he goes to tackle.
Well, he called Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City.
Yes.
He called it Burrowhead.
Ah!
And I just don't, like, I'm sort of with you. It's like, okay, whatever. Once the ball snapped, it's like focus, game plan, the whole thing.
Sure.
But I don't think that's smart.
I'm not a poke the bear guy.
That is
either.
Not smart, dude. Kansas City is pissed that they lost a 21-3 lead in this game to you guys last year. Mm-hmm. You want to go in there as low profile as possible.
Yeah.
And until last week, they were pretty low profile, right? Because we were like, well, their offensive line's banged up, and they're, they barely got by Baltimore, and they're underdogs to Buffalo. Well, now, that suddenly, because of how they played in Buffalo, they're the king. And dude, you don't want to start adding to that.
No,
that's not smart.
No, Mike Hilton is the corner, the slot corner. Yeah, it.
It's not smart.
It's not.
Shut your mouth.
You don't want to poke the bear.
If I'm Burrow, I'm pulling him aside like, dude.
Yeah, what are we doing?
That's not where we want to be.
No, of all the things that you...
We're the dog.
Yeah. Everyone wants to play the chip on their shoulder. Everyone wants to do the... Well, that's like when Georgia won the national title. Like, they were all like, no one believed in us all year. I'm like, oh my God. And yet, that's what Kirby Smart was selling to his players. All playoffs was that, you know, no one believes in you. No one thinks you're going to do this. And it's the most ridiculous thing in the world, but... Jordan had talked about this in his weird little, what was that, The Last Dance? That, I guess, documentary you call it, but the Jordan love letter that pissed off Scottie Pippen. It's not nonsense if you believe it, right? If it ends up motivating you, if it ends up pissing you off, if it ends up keeping you more focused, if it ends up shoving the distractions away, then it's a real thing. So, but it's one of those things that we can never quantify. Like, again, I don't know if the Buffalo thing last week had anything to do with the Cincinnati game. So none of those things are quantifiable. What? Well, Cincinnati was supposedly pissed about the...
Now, see, I think that did play a factor. I don't think... I was on Buffalo last week, so I didn't think that would be a factor, but in hindsight, I definitely think that was a factor.
They certainly, after the game, to a man, Cincinnati all talked about it.
Yeah,
so
it rallied them.
So obviously it was at the forefront of their mind. All I'm saying is I can never, no one can ever quantify that. So what it means or doesn't mean in the context of winning or losing a game, it's immeasurable. But I am with you that I never want to tread down those roads, especially if it's someone that's known for it. Like if I'm playing Damian Lillard, the last thing I want to do is give that guy a reason to get pissed off and get locked in. Because sometimes if you're beating a team down, and we've all been in those games, if no matter what level you've played in, or maybe even just during your workout or you're playing a golf game on the weekend, we've all been in those ruts where you just can't get it going. Nothing feels right. You know, your swing feels weird. Your grip, like when you're gripping the club, it doesn't feel right. You go out for a football game and my knee braces just feel tight and off. My shoulder pads don't seem to fit right. Nothing seems to work. And the last thing you want to do is give someone a reason to kind of refocus. You want to let them go in. If they're down a bad road, let them go down that road. And so the whole Burrowhead thing, I just think that's young and immature, but you know, it happens quite a bit. Well, and, I mean, I'll bet you there's equal, if you went back and looked each time there was something bulletin board worthy like this, I'll bet you it's a 50-50 split. I bet you go through and be like, oh yeah, well, that ended up, you know, working on the benefit of the team that was getting slighted. And I bet you there's half the games where, you know, the team that's talking trash ends up going and beating their ass anyways.
Yeah, but I mean, I could see it if it's, you know, who they playing the AFC? If they're playing in Miami or, you know, you're playing in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's
tread lightly. Yes, you won there last year, but they're the ones with the Super Bowl, not you.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. I think you got to win a little bit more to start talking like that.
Well, all I know is they've got Kansas City's attention because Kansas City's lost three in a row to them.
Yep.
And you're at home again. You're fresh off last year's.
Right. So here, that's a good example. Okay,
Kansas City, you have their attention.
This is a great point about what we're talking about. See, I think that the Burrowhead thing doesn't really matter in this particular instance because you're exactly right. Yeah. The Bengals already have, like Kansas City is already talking about we really want these guys.
Yeah.
Now, if this were, say, week 12 of the regular season and Cincinnati's a 500 team and was it Hilton?
Yeah, Mike Hilton.
Hilton says this in Kansas City, who has been known to coast anyway because they're always like 10-point favorites, right? And they're just, it's another game for them. And they're kind of overlooking Cincinnati. But then he says Burrowhead, and all of a sudden they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. You know, there's a chance that that hurts you because they weren't really paying that much attention to you anyway.
Yeah.
But now you've pissed them off. Whereas this week, dude, Kansas City is ready for Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's like
matter what they say
at the beginning of the year, like if you're Oregon playing Georgia, shut up, right? Don't give Georgia any reason to.
Did
pay
the Ducks talk some smack before the?
I don't necessarily think so. I'm just saying, like that's one of those where, like, let's say Jacksonville's in this game, right? Let's say Jacksonville is playing Kansas City. If you're Jacksonville, just shut up. And hope that Kansas City looks at you and is like, well, you know,
100%.
Jacksonville, don't give them a reason to take an extra look and be like, that's really?
Right. That's like, why teams are always cliche, like, well, it's going to be really tough, and you just got to take one game at a time.
Everyone, because you can't quantify it, but every coach knows, do not give someone an extra reason to
rally together.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll give you our thoughts on the poll question and our picks against the spread next in a segment we like to call Roppin' the Bank. Here's Buck.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Isaac and Souk are ready to predict this week's college and NFL outcomes with their usual laser-like accuracy.
How about if I take your money and kick you in the balls three times? No. Is that a fair deal?
A deep dive on the games that matter and some that don't.
Football is football.
Football's football.
This is Roppin' the Bank with Isaac and Souk on 1080.
Somebody's making money.
The Fan.
All right, well, just two Roppin' the Banks left. This one and the Super Bowl one. So far this season, we're betting by units this year. So a unit can be whatever amount you bet, your baseline bet. For Big Zook, he is plus 44 units. Very nice year. 2-2 last week. I am plus 13 units. 1-2 last week. And Buck is minus 43 units.
Yeah.
3-1 last week. I would also like to... point out that Buck has only been on the show for like half of the season.
I know.
So he goes big.
Yeah. He goes big or goes home.
He shoots his shot.
And you know what? I appreciate that, Buck.
Trying to keep up, you know?
You miss every shot that you don't take.
Well, he got behind early and then he started like...
Chasing it.
Five units.
Double up to catch up.
I love that.
Yeah, guess what? There's going to be more of that this week.
So three games left. Okay, so here, right now, the poll question... Where was that? There it is. Okay, so we're asking you on at 1080 the fan Twitter... Who are you most confident will win on Sunday? Because these games are basically toss-ups in the eyes of the odds makers. So any of the four could lead this poll question. Do you care to guess who is getting 45% of the vote right now?
45% of the vote. I think most people are on Cincinnati and Philadelphia, and I'm going to go Philly. Philly will get the vote.
Yep. Philly at 45%. Yeah. The Niners at 24%. Chiefs 18%. Bengals 13%.
No love for Cincinnati, huh?
No, but I was texting back and forth with Hugh Offill of the ALNA Sportsbook, and he said the public is pounding Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And Philly. Cincinnati mostly.
I mean, the Cincinnati game is essentially a pick'em game, and Philly is what, sitting at 2.5 right now?
Oh, yeah. So the spreads, the first game is noon on Sunday. Eagles are 2.5-point favorites over the Niners. That hasn't moved since early in the week.
Yeah.
And then at 3:30, the Chiefs host Cincinnati, and it is back to Kansas City minus -1. And that line has been all over the place.
Yeah, but, I mean, essentially, it's a pick 'em,
right?
I mean, you're getting a pick 'em there. And I'll go first. I'm going to go 5 units on both games, and I'll give you my synopsis. I'm going to go Philadelphia 5 units here. And
Minus 2.5.
By the way, I love that I'm getting this on the right side of 3. I really thought that this would be 3.5, maybe even 4. But San Francisco is red hot, but this is why I like Philadelphia maybe a little bit more than I do even the other game. Like you asked me who I feel most confident about, I'm going with Philly.
Okay.
And we'll get to the main reason here in a second, but some of the supplemental stuff that we'll get to is you look at what San Francisco, the calling card of their defense is their defensive line. And Bosa and that crew, they wreck you with their front. Philadelphia has arguably the best offensive line in football, and I really don't think there's much argument to it. Now, I know Lane Johnson is dealing with this groin, abdominal, like a Damian Lillard sort of core injury, and that's a little bit rough, but he's still 70% out there, and he's the best right tackle in football. they have a really, really good offensive line. And even if this is a slight advantage to San Francisco, this essentially is going to be a wash. They are not going to just overrun the Philadelphia offensive line. And even if they do apply some pressure to it, you have arguably right now, outside of Lamar Jackson, you have the most mobile, dangerous quarterback with his legs that's getting healthier by the week in Jalen Hurts. So he's going to be able to nullify a little bit of that anyways. That even if you do want to rush upfield and create those gaps, Jalen Hurts can hurt you with his legs. And then the big one here with the Philly offense and San Francisco defense is, when you look at San Francisco's defense, as good as it's been, what has been their bugaboo for the last month and a half? Elite wide receivers. Terry McLaurin at Washington got him. DK Metcalf got him. Devontae Adams got him. They have struggled against elite number one receivers. Philadelphia has two. Philadelphia doesn't have one. They have 2,000-yard receivers on the outside in the Slim Reaper and A.J. Brown, two very different receivers. Oh, and by the way, they have a very effective tight end, too, in Dallas Goedert. And their run game's pretty good. There just isn't a lot of weakness there, but I think they neutralize a little better what San Francisco's dominant thing is, and that's that front seven. So I think that's an advantage towards Philly there by a little bit, but I still think it's an advantage. And then on the other side of things, you've got Brock Purdy. And this is, to me, is where the game is tilted and why I really like Philadelphia. As great as Brock Purdy has been, Jalen Hurts is an MVP. And Brock Purdy at this point has been a fun story, and he's playing better than anyone thought. But he's played, if you go back through and look at his, what, eight games now, he's played one elite defense. One. And that
Dallas. Yeah.
And
they warmed him up pretty
and
good.
And he didn't look awful, but he didn't look great, and they scored 19 points.
Yeah.
This Philly defense that you're going to see is as good as that Dallas front. They have the best pass rush in the game, and more importantly, they have elite corners. They have an elite secondary. If there is going to be a matchup there, the run game, you should be able to run the ball on Philly, although they've gotten a lot better in the second half with Jordan Davis being back, and they made an addition in off the waiver wire. They've gotten better at that, but they should be able to run the ball against them, and Kittle should be great. Philly is bad against tight end. So this will be a competitive game. But when I look at the advantage that Philly has when they have the ball, and then I look on the other side of things and say, I think they can neutralize Brock Purdy with that pass rush, much like Dallas did, I just don't see why anyone would say that San Francisco is the right side of this. Not that they can't win, not that this is going to be a blowout, but everything when I look at these matchups, it's slight. But the right side of this game is Philadelphia, and it's only 2.5. I'm going to go 5 units. The right side here is Philly.
Okay, Buck, you have anything on Eagles, Niners? Now, let's keep in mind, Buckley is a Niners honk.
Yes.
So let's see how he bets here.
So I think this game might be a bit of a grinder, and I'm going to play the under in this one, under 46.5. I'm not going to take a side in this one. I think the Eagles probably is the right side, but the defense has been playing so well all season, I wouldn't be surprised if they were found a way to make it happen. So I'm just going to play the under there. I also, you guys know we get a corporate email every week with some betting tips.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I delete them.
Well, I looked through it. I perused for some of their 5-star locks. And I've got a couple props in our BetQL.
Ooh, I like that.
So last week against the Giants, Kenneth Gainwell, their second running back, he had 12 carries for 112 yards. Now, I realize it's a totally different opponent, but his over-under total this week is only 11.5. So I'm going to take over 11.5 rushing yards for Kenneth Gainwell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gainwell, wait, I got to jot this down. Over 11.5?
Over 11.5 rushing yards.
All right.
And then on the other side of things, even if Brock Purdy has a bad game, I think the way that the 49ers need to move the ball is going to be through the air. I don't think they rush the ball that effectively against the Cowboys. I think they're going to try to get it out to the edges and try to get a lot of yak. And so I'm going to take Brock Purdy over 222.5 passing yards.
222.5?
That's correct.
Now, are these 5-unit plays?
These are 5-unit plays.
From old Klepto Buck?
That's right.
Yeah, man.
So people were asking, too, right, and I get it, saying, have they seen a D-line like San Francisco? Well, no, San Francisco's defensive line is elite. But if you look at the elite lines that Philly has played this year, Washington has an elite front, and they scored 24 against them. Dallas has an elite front, and they scored 26 and 34 against them. Scored the Washington one where Washington beat them. They beat them 32-21. They only put up 21. And then Tennessee, they scored 35 against Tennessee. So if just an idea of what they've put up point-wise against other elite D-lines, even though this San Francisco animal is different than what
we've
seen.
All right, I will tell you this. I have to come clean. I will not have a play for the show on the Eagles Niners because this is what has happened in my life this week. I saw the lines when they first came out on Sunday, and I jumped on Philly minus two. So I have a big bet on Philly minus two. Now, as I've looked at this game over the week, I'm like, ooh, dude, I really, bottom of my heart, I like the Niners, but I also think this game is an absolute toss-up. I totally agree with a lot of what you said. I think, though, that San Francisco's defense is so special. And if Brock Purdy doesn't turn it over, I feel like this is, I'm with Buck, I think this is going to be a grinded out game. And I think if they can keep Jalen Hurts on the sideline enough, I think they can force him into a mistake. And I just am not confident enough to really load up on either side. So what I then did, so get this.
Hedge!
I totally bet out of Philly minus two. But what I did was I took San Francisco plus 4.5. So now, if Philly wins by 3 or 4, I win both bets.
Middle up, baby.
I'm middling that bet, and then if Phil, and then if that doesn't happen, then I lose a little bit on both sides. I don't. I'm not in on the side on that. I want Philly to win by 3 or 4. That's full disclosure. The other bet I have for San Francisco, and this won't be a play for the show because this line is no longer available, but I have a teaser with San Francisco at 8.5 and Kansas City when they were plus one, I teased them up to plus 7. That is no longer available, so I can't present that for the show. So that just is what I have in my account on Philly and San Francisco. So let's move on to, so no official play for the show on that game for me, but let's move on to Kansas City, Cincinnati.
I'm going 5 units again just because it's NFC title. Or the AFC and NFC title games. What the hell? I'll go 5 units again, and I think the right side of this is Cincinnati. Now, this is my caveat. I picked Buffalo last week against Cincinnati because I thought the O-line issues were going to rear its ugly head. Going into the playoffs, I said Cincinnati's the best team. Cincinnati's the best team in the AFC, but after 3 weeks and losing 3 starting offensive linemen and having a 4th play basically on one leg, I was like, you just... That is not a recipe for success, and they did not look good against Baltimore, and I'm like, okay, here it is. It's just, it's bad luck. It's a war of attrition. And then they come out against Buffalo, and they look like world beaters. And let's be honest, their O-line wasn't great to begin with, but believe it or not, the backups played better than the starters had in a month and a half. Their backups played a damn near perfect game. They bullied Buffalo. And I was like, holy crap. So if that holds up, and that is a big giant if, I get why people are like, well, I'm going to trust Kansas City because I'm not certain that line's going to hold up again. So if that line holds up, Cincinnati has a better roster. Believe it or not, for Kansas City being the number one seed and 14 wins, this is the worst roster of these four teams. Like if you look at Kansas City and you look at Cincinnati, there aren't a ton of matchup advantages for Kansas City. This is the least of the rosters, but they also have Pat Mahomes, they have Travis Kelce, they have Andy Reid, and Kansas City has the number one offense, and they found a little run game to go with this. But I look at the way Cincinnati's defense is playing, and I look at the way Cincinnati has played Kansas City and held them down, and I think Cincinnati is not scared of Kansas City. And then on the flip side of things, I think Cincinnati's offense causes real problems with the Chiefs. One, you basically have 3 rookies playing in your secondary, 2 of them playing major roles, and you're playing against the best 3-headed monster right now still left in the playoffs in Boyd, Higgins, and Jamar Chase. I don't know what you do against that. You have an effective tight end. You have 2 good backs. Oh, and by the way, Kansas City is terrible against backs that can catch the ball. Perine, when they played earlier this year, remember, Mixon was out of that. Perine went for like 170 combined yards passing and catching. Kansas City also has to blitz. Of the top 10 pressure defenses in the NFL, only one team blitzes more than Kansas City. They have to. They cannot rely on, like Philadelphia does in San Francisco, to just rush 4. And would you care to guess who's the number one by a mile against the blitz in the quarterback-wise?
Brock Purdy.
No.
Duh, Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow.
Duh.
This is just a poor matchup for Kansas City's defense. I do not think they can stop Cincinnati. So I just think eventually that Kansas City is going to have more advantages in this game, even playing on the road. I just think Kansas City's the right, or Cincinnati's the right side is the reason why they've won three in a row, and I think they're going to make it four. It has nothing to do with Mahomes' ankle. I just think Cincinnati's better, so I'm taking Cincinnati.
Cincinnati plus one, 5 units. All right, Buckster.
I'm taking the under in this one as well. I think that with Patrick Mahomes being banged up, it's going to, I don't anticipate maybe the same shootout of I would have before. It's 48 here. I think these types of games, the defenses show up. I think that the possessions lengthen a little bit. This feels again like the San Francisco game. Maybe not a grinder as much. I could see one team, you know, getting over on the other, but I don't see either team really putting a blowout points on the board. So under 48 for me. I'm also going to take under 36.5 receiving yards for Kadarius Toney because he sucks. he came over from New York from the Giants, and they thought that he would be, you know, someone who could help replace Tyreek Hill. He just hasn't been very good. He's got 170 yards all year. For some reason, his total's 36.5, and our BetQL friends love it. So I'm going under 5 units. Uh-huh. I will also take Jamar Chase under 6.5 catches.
So Toney under 36.5
yards,
receiving yards. And Chase what?
Under 6.5 catches. He can still have a big game and not have 7 catches.
Okay. Man, I tell you what, Buck's tough to log.
Yeah, there's a lot
there's
going
a lot
on.
Of typing going
Maybe
on.
Maybe you can make me the secretary next year.
It's also why I keep it pretty simple, because you do a lot of teasers.
I do.
Buck does all over the board of the crap. I like to keep mine simple of, hey, we're just give me the line and we'll go.
I find new ways to lose.
Not a side to be found on Buck's line this week.
Nope.
How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, I have another 10-unit play. This Ooh. Is my last one.
Okay.
Ooh. I'm 1-1 in my 10-uniters. And I bet this, so I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Kansas City will not lose to Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
The Kansas City Chiefs money line. Now, I got it at plus 105. It appears to be minus 115 now. And here's why. I'll try to keep it brief. You know, a lot of what you said, X's and O's wise, I totally get. Look, the Bengals are 3-0 against Kansas City in their last three for a reason. But all three were decided by a field goal. And now that we know that Mahomes is okay,
he's fine.
Kansas City is not losing 2 years in a row to Cincinnati at home in the title game. It ain't happening. They were up 21-3 last year in this game before blowing it. That will not happen again. And here's why. I think the Cincinnati-Buffalo game, and I haven't heard anybody say this except for you, Big Sue, on Monday. You said this. And I had the same thought watching Cincinnati-Buffalo.
The snow.
Yeah. I think that Cincinnati-Buffalo game was kind of a one-off. I do not think Cincinnati does that to Buffalo. But in that specific situation, it was as if Buffalo had never played in the snow.
Yeah, their defensive line looked like it was in the mud.
Yeah, I thought it negated a lot of what Buffalo could do to beat Cincinnati. And credit Cincinnati for winning that game and handling the snow better than Buffalo. But I really think this week, Cincinnati's offensive line trouble is going to show up. It didn't last week, but I think it will this week, and that to me is the difference. The look ahead line on this game before Cincinnati played Buffalo was 6.5. Dude, I think it's closer than that. Cincinnati has proven that it should be closer than that, but I think one minus one, I'm just going money line. I think it's a steal because Kansas City is as good as Cincinnati is, and they beat them here last year. Kansas City. They're the cream of the crop in the AFC, and typically what happens with them is they're always the favorite, and they're always the favorite by 5, 6, 7, 8, and they never cover, but they win. In this instance, we don't even have to worry about point spreads.
Just win.
So they're at home. Mahomes is healthy. I do not think Cincinnati, as good as they are, is going to go 4-0 against Mahomes and the Chiefs in 4 straight meetings. Not going to happen. Kansas City is going to win this game, and I think it's going to be 31-2.
It's an interesting line.
31-22.
It will no longer be Burrowhead.
So Kansas City money line for 10. That's my pick, and I'm sticking to it.
There you go.
All right, Jason Quick, Blazers Insider is coming up at 4:15. Open Seggy next on The Fan. Okay, Damian Lillard had 60 last night. It was pretty good little 62.
The most efficient 60,
yeah,
I think, in NBA history.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
As 60s go, it was a good 60.
Yeah, and they needed him, too. It wasn't like, you know, you know, sometimes you know, when you
where
have,
is the defense in the NBA?
Well, you score 135, you know, you can give up 124.
No, I know, but what seriously, like, what are people saying? What is going on?
It doesn't exist
in the NBA.
The other night, what Portland though was 147, and then Milwaukee scored 150.
Yeah, they won 150, 130.
Wow, that's like old school. Remember
that is old school.
80s NBA.
Yes, there is no defense being played whatsoever.
Well, Lillard is the fourth ever with 60 points or more and shooting over 70%.
Yep.
Did you know that?
I did know
and
that.
And he's the only small guy. David Thompson, Wilt, and who's the other one?
I don't know. But I did see.
Oh, Karl Malone.
I did see that he was the only small. He also now owns
29 shots.
The five best scoring performances in Portland Trailblazer history.
Top all five?
All five. Are
well, other okay.
Damian
wait,
Lillard.
Can I guess who's sixth?
I can look it up for you.
No, I'm going to guess.
I know, but I don't know it off.
I'm
going to
be right.
Head.
No, I'm going to be right. You don't need to look it up.
Okay.
Bonzi Wells, 55.
Bonzi Wells,
right?
Bonzi.
I think so. I think he had 55.
Huh.
Andre Miller may have had 52.
Miller had a 50 burger. I remember that. But I don't remember.
Do you have that in front of you? Well, now I'm not very confident.
I'm trying to pull it up right now.
All
right. Yeah, I see right here. Most points scored in a game by a Trailblazer.
Well, Lillard was 21 of 29 or 22 of 29?
Sorry, I've moved on. I had it in front of me, and now I've moved on to his 60 burgers. So, yes, Lillard owns the top five. And then one Damon Stoudemire.
Ah, Stoudemire's.
Stoudemire what comes in. Stoudemire had 54.
Where's Bonzi?
Let's see here. Andre Miller comes in next with his 52.
Damn.
Then Brandon had a 52.
Okay.
Lillard with another 51. Lillard again. Lillard again. Lillard again.
Wow.
Petrie coming in with 51.
Jeff Petrie.
Petrie. Lillard again.
Okay,
Lillard
so
again.
I was way off then.
Lillard again. Lillard again.
Am I crazy? Bonzi didn't have a 50-point game.
There's CJ with 50. Lillard. Clyde with a 50.
Oh, for heaven's
Lillard sake. With a 49. So, no, Bonzi never had 50. It goes back to 49, and
maybe Bonzi's, I was thinking of Damon.
Bonzi's nowhere to be found on that
Damon
list.
Stoudemire. Well, hey, great night for the Zers.
But if you look through the stat books, when it's all said and done, there will be a lot of Damian Lillard.
Well, yeah.
Bonzi Wells had a career high of 45.
Oh, so I thought it was 55.
Against the Mavericks in 2003.
What a bum.
Now, that wasn't even the story of the game.
No.
My new favorite Portland Trailblazer and should be starting, Drew Eubanks.
Why?
Eubanks is the man.
Because you love the whites.
Well, he's fantastic. Well, the other one's a white, too, in that, you know, you got Jusuf Nurkić. I'm not kidding. Eubanks, it brings a better consistent effort and skill set than Jusuf Nurkić.
Can I just tell you something?
I love me some Drew Eubanks.
Live on the radio? I can't believe I'm about to say this.
Go for it.
I can't stand Nurkić.
Is
that universal now?
I think it started.
Are fans over that guy?
Well, for a while, Nurk was the guy. People love Nurk Fever.
You got to give him credit. He's had his moments here.
I feel like Nurk Fever is a little bit like COVID. God. I kind of feel like people are over it.
Yeah. Well, we do have a very measured
text
here.
Is there a vaccine
here.
For Nurk?
I feel like there is, and it's effective.
This says, I think it'd be interesting to hear Quick's perspective on running that lazy, candy-ass Nurkić out of town while he's still worth some sort of trade assets.
Totally. I couldn't agree more.
I feel like the tide has turned on Jusuf Nurkić.
Well, he's just so inconsistent.
He is. And he's pouty, and when he doesn't bring it, it's really obvious.
Come on, man.
And I'm kind of joking, but I'm not. Eubanks, he's more athletic than you give him credit for, and he just, you don't need your center on this team to score 25 a night, but you do need someone to put in consistent effort, and I love what he brings to the lineup. I really do. And he's got great hair. He looks like an Italian, like My Cousin Vinny sort of situation going on.
Drew Eubanks.
I love me some Eubanks.
This is classic Blazer fan.
I know.
5.7 points, yeah. 4.6.
Damn right.
Reebs.
Yes, and I love him.
And he's great.
He's my new favorite he's my new favorite Blazer. And you know who else loves him? Blazer Twitter. We're all in love with Drew Eubanks.
Of course they do.
Hells
You're
yeah.
You're becoming a Blazer honk over there.
I just love Drew Eubanks.
You just love Blazers Twitter.
Blazer Twitter is fun.
So Drew Eubanks is their new guy?
Well, I don't know if he's their new guy, but, you know, hey.
At least they won.
They won. Every win at this point matters. And this against Utah, like the San Antonio win, who cares? San Antonio is in the one by Giannis sweepstakes. They don't give two S's about anything. So if you look back over the last month, you really can only point to what you had the two wins against Dallas and the win against Utah. And look, not Utah's not great. They're a 500 basketball team, but you could say quality wins, kind of, sort of. At this point, you'll take them. You'll take them.
The other thing about Lillard's 60-point performance, only two other players have scored 60 on fewer shot attempts from the field, Karl Malone and James Harden. And they both went to the free throw line way more.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically...
Lillard only had 10 free throws.
Yeah. Well, Harden, right? That's his whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Harden lives at the free throw line.
Yeah, they were in the 20s in their free throw. But 29 shots, 60 points. Dude, come on.
It's ridiculous.
Shot 72% last night.
That's silly.
It's insane.
Well, yeah, and I think I mentioned it, but I should reiterate, again, the only players in NBA history to go 60 or more on 70% shooting or better are all bigs. Wilt, Karl Malone, and David Thompson. Lillard being a little guy?
Yeah.
That's really unheard of.
It is the most efficient game in NBA history for someone scoring 60 points. He's ridiculous.
All right.
And you know, we kind of kept waiting like at the year. Remember, wasn't that long ago we were talking about, well, Lillard needs to play like the, you know, a true superstar for this team to have a chance. Well, he's kind of playing that way now. He's turned it up. We're going into full on pissed off
Lillard
mode.
Maybe he can get them all the way to one game over 500. What do you think about that?
I think they're two back three right now.
Two back three? What does that mean?
Well, they're two or three back from 500. I think they're...
That's
they're,
what I said. Like, yeah. Maybe he can just get them all the way up to, like, 31 and 30.
23 and 25, man.
How about
that? Two more wins, 25 and 25. Although, you know what? I'm not happy because my... You know, I need him to get to 39 wins. And I...
Oh, that's true.
I felt as confident as could be at the start of the season, and now I'm... Sweating.
They're stuck in the middle again.
I'm going to be sweating my ass off.
You're going to lose your bet, and they're not going to get a good draft pick. Classic Blazers.
Just get to 39 wins. Is that so much to ask?
Apparently, it is.
Just 39.
Jason Quick, our Blazers insider, in 10 minutes. Up next, we will look at the NFL coaching carousel on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.